Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parent Factors with your host, Dr. John DeGarmo. Today, families are a lot different than they were in the past. So whether you have one child or you're part of a blended family, you can depend on Dr. John for weekly insights, answers, tips, and solutions. Now, the world of parenting is right at your fingertips. Here's Dr. John.
You know, most people believe they are curious anyway. We've all heard about curious stories, right? We all have a little bit of that curious person in us. We read books. We have passions. We look up things online. You know what? That's what I do pretty much every single day. Yet, where most people are not curious, though, is in conversation. Have you ever wondered how curiosity can help you as a parent, how it can help you build a relationship with your children? Well, we have an expert. In fact, we have two experts on that very same topic tonight. We welcome to the program Kathy Tabiner and her daughter, Kirsten Tabiner-Siggins. They are the author of the brand new book, The Power of Curiosity, How to Have Real Conversations That Create Collaboration, Innovation, and Understanding. They are a dynamic mother-daughter executive coaching team, and they are on the program calling in from California. Kirsten and Kathy, welcome to Parent Factors with Dr. John.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you. So, you know, you're calling in from California, but we can hear a little bit of the Canadian accent coming through, right?
Yes, for sure. We're both so, from, I still live in Canada, and Kirsten was raised there.
All right. Well, great, great. Well, welcome to the program. When I first met my wife about 25 years ago, she's from Australia, and so we're sitting on a bus, and I was asking her all these questions, left and right, asking her all these questions, and she finally asked me, why do you ask me so many questions? And I said, because I want to know all about you. I've always been somebody who was very, very curious. I have to tell you, I am curious about this new book, How to Have Real Conversations That Create Collaboration, Innovation, and Understanding, The Power of Curiosity. Tell us a little bit about how you came to write this book.
Okay, this is Kathy, and it started with work that I was doing in healthcare. I was part of a leadership development program, and I did a one-day program that included curiosity. It was about coaching skills as leaders. But what came out of it was that everyone said, yeah, the coaching is great. However, I'm now learning how to really listen to somebody, and I'm learning how to ask questions. And with that, I'm at home with my kids, I'm having a different conversation. And what they said was that their kids would say, thank you, that was a really different conversation, or what's happened? I like that conversation. It's very different than one we've ever had before. And what they learned that when they really listened to what their kids had to say and they began to ask open questions, they began to really understand what their children were about, what their perspective was, how they were feeling about certain situations, what they thought about things. And what we realized was that this is a really important thing. And in this day and age, when Kirsten was a child, her childhood wasn't that unlike mine. So I could think, okay, she's 8 years old. I can remember doing whatever that she was doing. However, for her, and she can speak to this more than I can, but her kids at 7 and 8, their lives are totally different than hers was because of technology. And so if she's not curious, if parents are not curious with kids, how are they really going to know what their kids are doing, and how are they going to be able to keep them safe? So Kirsten, over to you about that.
You mentioned, Kathy, and Kirsten, you talk about this, please. You mentioned open-ended questions. What about those parents when their children come home from school and the parents say, did you have a good day at school? Or how was your day at school? And leave it at that. Is that type of an appropriate question, Kirsten?
Well, how was your day at school is definitely an open-ended question. And I don't know about you, but when I ask my kids, I have a 7 and a 9-year-old, and when I say, how was your day at school? And it's normally met with fine.
right.
great, you know, nothing happened. What, you know, they're very, they're, you're not getting a lot of information. And I, what I've learned with them is that it's not just asking, what did you do at school? It's, you know, what was the greatest, most fun you had, or what new thing did you learn? Or it's asking, going a little bit deeper into being more specific in the questions. Who did you eat lunch with today? You know, what were you guys talking about? You can be more specific about parts of their day, and you're going to, at first it's really hard, at least for me it was really difficult to get information from my kids. But what ends up happening is they, the more that you ask the questions, the more comfortable they become discussing things with you. We, in fact, play this game where you say, and again, my kids are younger, but you could probably change it for older children. But it was, you know, you say one thing that you loved, one thing that you hated, and one thing that you made up. And so the kids will have to say three things, and then we all decide what's their favorite thing of the day, what's their least favorite thing of the day, and one thing that's made up. And that actually opens it up to a much larger discussion. And when we carpool, the first thing that kids from other families, they come into the car and they'll say, let's play the game, let's play the game. Because, you know, we're all excited to talk about our days. We all want to share about what happened. Every single human wants to be seen, heard, and understood. And we believe the only way you can do that is by being curious and asking, like you're saying, those open-ended questions, the who, what, where, when, and how questions.
Right. One of the questions my wife asks our children at the dinner table, and currently we have 8 children in our home right now between biological, foster, and adoptive. But she asks every evening, what was the best part of your day and what was the worst part of your day? And as you said earlier, opens up a lot of questions. But aren't all people already curious as it is?
We find that they're not. They may be curious about what's in a box or what's around a corner or what makes something, you know, what makes a clock tick. However, we're not. Most people are not curious about what the perspectives of another person. And we make the assumption that we have a perspective about something and that's the truth. And everybody else has the same perspective. When in reality, we all have our very own unique perspectives that are a result of our childhood, our schooling, our experiences, all the people we've met. And so if we're not curious, we don't know what someone else is really thinking. And unless we can begin to understand what they're thinking and where they're at, we can't really have those connections, those relationships that are going to help us and be effective in terms of how we live our lives and how we connect with others.
So how do you exactly do you have a curious conversation? What does that mean to a parent? What does it mean to a child? And how does a parent start having a curious conversation?
That's a really great question. And before I go into exactly how they do it, I think it's important for parents to understand, because I think most parents would say they're curious about their kids. We all love our kids. We all want the best for our kids. But what ends up happening is that when we're not curious in these conversations in the way I will say in a minute, is that we end up judging and blaming and shaming and getting stuck in this I'm right, you're wrong headspace, all without even realizing it, and all of it leads to conflict, which is this very familiar dance that parents and children can get into, and spouses and friends and colleagues and what have you. And so when I speak to parents or we speak to parents, I think most of them go into it saying, I have curious conversations with my kids. But what ends up happening is that they end up being closed questions, or they're narrowing, they get stuck in a mindset or a perspective of their children. They think they know about everything there is to know about their children, and they're not in that place of ambiguity to just listen and learn. And so the first step that we say, you know, to be curious with your child, it's keeping the focus on your child. It's being present with them to listen, to absorb what they're saying. Because often, as parents, we don't listen to our kids, or we think that we're listening, but we're not actually really present and hearing what they're saying to us. So as parents, the first step is to give your child your undivided attention and truly actively listen to absorb what they're saying to you. The next step is then... Sorry, go ahead.
Let me stop you there. So, and I have a house sometimes full of 11 children. In fact, right now, there are 16 people in my house right now. So how do I carve out... Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let me tell you, it is pretty crazy. How do I carve out time to really listen to a child?
Yeah, it's hard. Taking the time out to focus on people and listen is something that we all take for granted and we think we do effectively, but the reality is, spoiler alert, most of us don't listen well. And so we actually created an acronym called ABSORB, and we go into the acronym in the book. But the simplified version, the easy way when you're in that situation is to ensure that you're present, because if you're not present, you can't be curious, and if you're not present, you can't listen, and if you're not listening, you can't be curious, right? So the first step is to be present to listen. And it's just literally stopping what you're doing and giving the speaker, your child, your undivided attention, and remembering all you need to think about is, you know, am I present so I can absorb what this person is saying? And so you're listening to everything, you're taking everything in, and the focus is not on anything that's going on with you, it's not going on with what's going on in your head. You know, we all have those gremlins inside our head, that inner speak that competes with our ability to listen, and parents struggle with that. We've got to-do lists, we've got, you know, we're doing laundry, you've got 15 other people in the house that you're trying to, is so-and-so brushing their teeth, what are they, you know, you've got that laundry list going through your head. It's quieting the gremlins, being present, to actively listen and absorb what this person is saying so you can give them their undivided attention. Yes, it might take longer than telling them what to do, but what it allows you to do is when they feel seen, heard, and understood, it changes a conversation. You're learning from them, and they're feeling seen and they're feeling heard, you know, and you learn from them. It changes your relationship with your child rather than constantly talking at them.
Wow, that sounds great. You know, it's still very true. Children do need to had the feeling that they are being heard. So many children come through my home from foster care, and they've never had somebody who has really spent time and listened to them. So that's so important.
And I think, John, one of the things that is important about that is that when we're curious, we're focusing on the other person.
Right.
And it gives us an opportunity to really focus on that person and give them that space to be the person they are.
So, you know, when I have children in my house right now for ages, 2 to 17. So there are those times where my wife or I have to have those really tough emotional conversations with our children. How can curiosity help us with those types of conversations?
And when you say those emotional conversations, give us a bit more what you mean by that. Is it sharing, telling them things, or is it? I mean, we don't need an example. It's just
sure. Maybe I need to sit down with my oldest daughter and talk about the guy who is wanting to date her and why we can't allow her to go out with him because he's a bad egg. Maybe it's with my 4-year-old foster daughter. Here's one. I had this conversation actually today. My 4-year-old foster daughter asked me about her old mommy. When will she see her? When will she go and live with her old mommy again? Very, very hard conversation to have with her. So, how can curiosity help me with that type of conversation?
I think it's finding out their perspective around that. What is important for her? I mean, it sounds crazy, but what we assume may be important about that for her in terms of seeing her mom may be different than what you think it is. So you may go into it, as, you know, if we're just thinking about the conversation from our perspective, we're telling them what we think may be the outcome or why we think they shouldn't date someone or whatever it is. But if we go in and we're curious to understand where they're at, what their perspective is, we may understand something, we may find something that's very different from what we assume it is. And so by asking those questions and finding out exactly, you know, your daughter and dating, it may be, well, that's kind of a relief because I really didn't want to go out with him, but I didn't know how to get out of it. I mean, who knows what it is? But right. Unless we really listen to what they see in this person, what their perspective is, we can't begin to really understand where they're at. And so instead of telling them what we think, when we ask them for their perspective, we begin to share and understand, then it's easy for us to link what we want to say into that as opposed to just telling them, no, you can't do it.
Sure. Do you find that parents ever feel uncomfortable asking their children questions?
Absolutely. I think everybody is uncomfortable asking questions. We talk a lot about this, where what's the difference between being curious and nosy? And if I'm asking questions, aren't I nosy? In fact, kids often will take it as nosiness, right? I was working with teens in leadership development with teens, and they'll say, you know, my parents ask me all these questions and it's so nosy, and I don't want them in my business. You know, right. And then they'll say, but I really want to go out with my friends and my parents want me to check in and they won't let me go. And so we'll talk about, okay, well then how do your parents know what you're capable of if you're not going to engage with them in a conversation, if you're not going to answer their questions, and how are they going to know what you're capable of? And how, so it's, you know, for them to understand the flip side of that. Going back to the parent component of asking questions, though, is understanding the difference between curiosity and that nosiness. And when we're curious to be nosy, which often parents do, there's a judgment. There's an underlying judging in it. You know, it's like you want to know what's going on with your kids and you want to make sure they're being good and they're doing the right thing and the wrong thing. And if they're not, then the parent is going to tell them how to do it and what they need to do differently. And no kid wants to hear that, right? They're going to feel judged.
Right,
whereas
right.
If you can go into those conversations and you can ask those open questions, and all parents, the first thing you just focus on how questions and what questions, because most people don't ask a lot of open questions, and they keep the focus on their child, and they go to this place of ambiguity, and the mindset is just, I just want to listen and learn. I just right. want to listen to what's going on to my child, and I want to learn from my child, and I might not even like what my child is going to tell me. I might not love, you know, how they want to solve this problem or what they want to do, but if you keep asking those how and what questions, it allows you to learn from them, and then your child is engaged in a conversation with you in a very different way.
Right, right.
And you're not being nosy, you're being open and curious, and kids know the difference just like we know the difference.
Right, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with being nosy too, because it's just sometimes it shows that you care. Now, I often hear parents tell me, I'm there to be my child's friend. I don't want to be nosy. And I tell them, we're not their friend. We are their parent at this age. We are their parent. And we need to know. Listen, I want to ask you the three things that parents can do right now to help them. But we have to take a commercial break. So we're going to be back in just a minute. Ladies, can you hang on for a commercial?
Yes.
Great. Sounds all good. Right. You're listening to Parent Factors with Dr. John. We'll be back after these messages.
We'll be back with Parent Factors and Dr. John right after these messages.
Now there is a book available for children coming into foster care. The book is called A Different Home, A New Foster Child Story. Written in simple language and fully illustrated in color, this storybook is designed to help children in care or moving into care to settle in and answer some of their sensitive questions. Accompanied by notes for adults on how to use the story with children, it will be a useful book for foster parents and caseworkers, as well as social workers, teachers, and anyone else working with children in foster care. A Different Home, A New Foster Child Story, available at Amazon and where all books are sold.
Hi, this is Chris Chmielewski, owner, editor, and creator of Foster Focus magazine, the only monthly foster care magazine in America. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo. Enjoy and visit fosterfocusmag.com.
Did you know there are more than 400,000 children in foster care? Foster, adoptive, and kinship caregivers stand in the gap for these children, and they need support too. The National Foster Parent Association has been the voice of foster, adoptive, and kinship caregivers for more than 40 years, advocating for thousands of families who open their heart and homes to children in need. Learn more about NFPA at www.nfpaonline.org or call 1-800-557-5238.
Greetings. My name is Daniel Heimpel, and I'm the publisher of The Chronicle of Social Change, an online news site covering child welfare and juvenile justice. Be sure to check out our money and business section, which includes a huge database of youth services funding opportunities from private foundations and all levels of government. Thanks for taking a look at chronicleofsocialchange.org.
Did you ever wish there was a manual for foster parents? Well, now there is. This manual is a comprehensive guide offering proven, friendly advice for novice and experienced parents alike. Distilling many years' experience into one book, U.S. foster and adoptive parent John DeGarmo combines his own hard-won wisdom with that of fellow foster parents. He describes what to expect from the process, how to access help and support, and how to ensure the best care for your child. The Foster Parenting Manual, available now in stores and at Amazon.com.
And now back to Dr. John and Parent Factors.
Hi, welcome back to Parent Factors with Dr. John. We have with us the authors of the great book, The Power of Curiosity, How to Have Real Conversations That Create Collaboration, Innovation, and Understanding. So, Kathy, how can parents right now, what three things can parents do to help them get more curious with their children?
Well, John, first off, I'd say ask those, the questions start with what and how, as Kirsten mentioned earlier. I'd say also to take that time to really listen so that the child knows that they're there for them and they want to understand what's going on for them. And this leads to the third one of treating them with respect, which you want to hear from them and not just tell them what to do. So, because when we start telling, our kids tune out. So, really listen to them and give them the opportunity to share with you what's going on for them.
You said when the parents start telling the children what to do, the children tune out. So, what do parents need to do then?
Stop telling their kids what to, you know, there are times when telling in a crisis is important and being that directive form of leadership. But when we tell on a regular basis, no one likes to be told what to do. And it messages, we can't cope for things, we can't deal with things ourselves, we don't know what's best for us, we can't solve this problem. And so by giving our kids that space to support them, but allow them to figure out things for themselves, we're messaging, we trust you. We know you can solve this problem. We know you know what's best for you. And it may not be the same way that we would solve a problem, and yet if it's a way that is going to keep them safe and give them that confidence, then that's the most important part.
Sure, I imagine so. So, you know, what's a little unusual about your partnership, your professional team, is you are mother and daughter. Very, very unusual. How do you make that work?
Well, it is unusual. You're right. And I feel extremely privileged to be able to work with my mother. And we often get asked, like, why would you work with your mother? Or how can you work with your daughter? But the reality is I really credit my mom for our success because of her commitment to curiosity, much more so before mine. And with that was this commitment to respectful understanding. I think that the biggest gift that I've gotten has been, as a mother, daughter, and I feel fortunate because, you know, I'm a mother to a daughter as well. We often don't get to know our mothers or our daughters outside of that sort of mother-daughter relationship dance. And a lot of the times they can be sort of aggressive or tumultuous or emotional at best. And the thing that I've been so fortunate is through curiosity and through this commitment to respectful understanding, I've gotten to know my mother beyond just being the role of mom. I got to know her as a businesswoman, as a leader, as a mentor, and she's gotten to know the same for me. And what that allows you to do by having what we are saying, these curious conversations, rather than her saying to me, we come from two very different generations and how we do business is very different and how our business backgrounds are very different. But what's great about it is it's never been, this is what works and this is how we're doing it. It's learning from each other and asking those questions of what works for you and what works for you and how do we want to move forward. And it's really been this curious collaborative process. But because my mom's commitment to respectful understanding, you know, when the rubber hits the road, like, what did you mean by that? Tell me more by that, what you mean, rather than shutting me down or going to this place of emotion. By just being ambiguous to learn from me, it has taught me to be more curious in who I am and how I show up, and especially with my kids. So I feel so fortunate. I mean, the reason that we are able to have a successful relationship is not that we had a bad one before, but I really think curiosity has made it such a richer, deeper, more powerful relationship, and it's one that we all have the ability to do through curiosity.
Kirsten, let's go back to the book, The Power of Curiosity. At what point did you recognize there's a book here?
That's interesting. You know, I think that it was really feedback from clients that said, you need to take this to a larger and wider audience because it's been so powerful. And I think also what we realize, you know, where the book is, it's, yes, it's powerful, but we all have the ability to do this. We're not asking people to learn new skills, and we're not asking people to memorize theory. We all have the ability to be present to listen. We all have the ability to choose to listen without judgment. And we all have the ability to ask open, curious questions. The thing is that sometimes we just need to relearn how to do all of those things. And so we really took the cues from our clients who had these profound life-changing, you know, experience as well as us, and we just felt it was, you know, it was something that we were passionate about sharing on a larger level.
So what did you learn, Kirsten, when you wrote this book? What did you learn?
What did I learn writing the book? Oh, I learned a lot. I mean, I learned, I think, the success of writing the book, and Mom, jump in where, but we really had to dig deep with curiosity with each other. You know, we were in two separate countries, and we had two separate experiences, and we had to come together. And so we learned, I think, you know, we learned how to be curious with each other again. I don't know. I felt like we learned so much about relationships and about curiosity, and it was really great to compile everything together, and really it validated that this is powerful. Our clients have had these life-changing moments, and our method works. The curiosity skills work. And it was exciting to put it into a book that was so usable and so transformational. You know, it was just a new component. I never wanted to write a book, so it was a very new component learning journey for me that I really enjoyed. Kathy, what did you learn?
I would concur with all of that. It was a struggle, and we were still trying to find our own way, and we both had ideas that we wanted to be included in the book, and we made it work. And I think it deepened our relationship. I think it created incredible understanding for each one of us about the other and appreciation of who we are as individuals, not just as mother-daughter, but as individuals. And there's a big difference there, for me anyway.
All right, ladies, how can parents connect with you? They're listening to the program right now, and they want to learn more. How can they connect with you if they want to learn more?
Go to www.instituteofcuriosity.com.
And it's really cool. You can actually download right now the intro and the first chapter of the book for free on instituteofcuriosity.com, our website, and anybody can access it right now to just see if they like the book. It's been really well received, and it's been life-changing. So we hope people will enjoy The Power of Curiosity.
I love it, The Institute of Curiosity. I absolutely love it. Okay, what final words of wisdom would you like to pass on to all of our listeners?
For me, it would be to, especially the what and how, to take the time to ask the questions, to focus on your children, because we have children with us for a brief period of our whole life, and they're just such an incredible gift, and how better to get to know them and to really understand them than to be curious with them so that you give them the space to be the person they really can be.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. The book is called The Power of Curiosity, How to Have Real Conversations That Create Collaboration, Innovation, and Understanding. You can find out more at the Institute of Curiosity. Kathy and Kirsten, thank you so much for being part of the program.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right, once again, the book is The Power of Curiosity. You can check it out at the Institute of Curiosity. And that is it. That is for another episode of Parent Facts with Dr. John. I want to tell you real quick what I just launched this past weekend. I launched our brand new fundraising campaign for our group home. You know, my wife and I have this dream, this vision, if you will, of helping more children in foster care. So we have found a home for children where they can heal, where they can find a place to find love, find a place to find a family, and find a place where they can just heal in general, and you can help us with it. Go to the website Never Too Late Foster Care and help us with this vision. You can create a home where children can come to heal. Never Too Late Foster Care. All right, that's it. We will have another episode of Parent Factors with Dr. John. Make sure you tune in. Find out more on us on Facebook as well. For Parent Factors, I'm your host, Dr. John DeGarmo. Until next time, I bid you cheers.